Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast. Today, I have an author interview with Alex Rosa. Alex's latest release is Unwritten, which is a second chance romance set in a small town in Colorado. In this interview, we chat about her writing process, her books, and of course, some book recommendations. Now, let's go to the interview. Hi, Alex. Welcome to the What You Read Next podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little about yourself.
I'm originally from San Diego, but I moved a little farther north to like LA County because it's always because of a boy. So that's me and my cat, Juno. We moved up here and we're really enjoying for hot right now. But I am like a nerd and a fandom seeker by day, by actually like 24/7. My job is in marketing and then by day, and then I write books, steamy romance novels by night. And yeah, we're just trying to stay cool over here.
I can imagine. So I'm excited to talk about indie romances with you. So what inspired you to become a writer?
You know, movies and other writers. I grew up in a super movie buff family, to the point where my dad was playing movie quote games with us. And my parents always really took the time to talk to me about what it meant to have, what the art of storytelling was, which was very cool as a kid. You know, we would always watch movies and they would explain to me why certain storylines were important. And that was really inspiring. And then, I've always been an avid reader ever since I was a young kid, but it wasn't until I picked up like my first romance novel that I really thought, oh, I will write this. It was, I think my first books were Thoughtless by S.D. Stevens and the Kylie Scott. I want to do this. I also love. So that's kind of how that transferred, a little love of movies and romance novel inspiration.
I love this. So you're an indie author. What was that journey to get that first book published?
Oh, it was, I think it's kind of an unorthodox journey. I guess during that time, writing books online were a really big deal. I don't know if people are still doing it now, but I started publishing writing online just for fun on the writing community Wattpad. And blew up from there. That was 2013, which just feels like a billion years ago. And I self-published my first book, which was a romantic novel called Emotionally Compromised. And that was just my first foray into publishing. And things just got kind of serious and fun afterwards. And even through my online writing community, I actually had an editor reach out to me from a top publisher to traditionally publish a couple of my other books. So I always tell people, like, the writing community is great. That's how I started. I indie published my books. It's a great community. And that's just kind of where I started and how I got to where I am today.
So what is the process to get that book published? Like, when we talk about indie authors, like, they have to do the marketing, the PR, the formatting, all those different things. What are some of the pieces that we have to keep in mind that, you know, when you're doing indie, you have to get it?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. The thing I love about being an indie author is being in control, which might be so type A of me, mm-hmm. but I like that kind of being in control of start to finish. But understand it'd be very, very overwhelming to a lot of people. I feel lucky. Job is in marketing, so I kind of am always constantly educating myself, and that's like my number one tip when I tell people who are getting into it. You know, it's already hard enough writing a book, and then to go and market yourself is super hard. So I always just say educate, and read, and ask. Like, you have to just there's no easy road. So when I started in 2013, I wasn't in marketing. I was super green. I think I was like 23. I don't even know. And all I did was spend my time Googling and sitting in Facebook groups and asking questions. What's really fantastic about the author community is that they they are helpful, and they want, there's a lot of really great authors out there who want you to succeed. And so it never hurts to ask. I mean, don't bombard, but it's always good to ask questions. And you should probably spend as much time as you are writing. I think that there's a nice balance of educating and researching yourself. Sign up for those blogs, for marketing trends and information, and try and hop on those bandwagons. I never stop educating yourself. I think there's a point for everybody that they think they learned the basis, but what I've learned is, because I kind of was on a hiatus from writing for 3 years, is that it is constantly evolving. So always stay fresh, and stay really lively in those Facebook communities as well. I wish I kind of, when I was on my hiatus, I feel like I kind of fell off the face of the planet a little bit. So I'm kind of trying to reintegrate back in, but it's been wonderful so far. So I'm always just a huge fan of like educating and Googling.
Yeah. So what are some of the new trends that you notice now that coming back from the hiatus, and you're like, oh, this is brand new, or these are some interesting things that we should keep in mind for authors?
Yeah. As a marketer outside of even book publishing, I think that, and I'm sure authors would agree, that the Instagram and Facebook algorithms are like nightmares to try and kind of figure it out. And the one recommendation that I've figured out, professional in both book and outside, is consistency. I think consistency is really going to be your best friend in something like this. And I know it's really easy to kind of break out of that. And it's not necessarily a trend, but I think we're just finding it to be more and more true. Like, if you're going to post every day, make sure you're posting every day. If you're going to post once a week, there's no harm in posting once a week. Just make sure you're posting once a week. You know, some people do it 3 times a day. God bless them. I don't know how they do it. But, you know, so I think that there's a lot of fun trends out there. And I think there's a way to match your brands to it, as far as like fun quotes and texts, and things are very font heavy right now. But the number one recommendation that I can give to anyone is, I think consistency is going to get you the farthest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that it works for everyone, not just for authors, but for some of book bloggers or even influencers. Basically, consistency is like, you gotta be consistent about it. Otherwise, it's just
definitely Yeah. And it's so sad when it falls off.
So let's talk about your writing, Teapot Online, your GC, where the story leads. Yeah.
Yeah, I do love a good outline. I have kind of toggled in my writing career kind of back and forth on what I consider a quote unquote good outline. And what I've learned, at least for me, is that I have to keep my outline really light. I kind of tell myself to write the beats, because I don't know if anybody else experiences this, but sometimes if I write too detailed of a story where I'm so excited about a story, I will like write all of the details. I get bored with my own idea by the end of the outline, and I'm not really willing to go back and rewrite it, because I feel like I almost did write it. So I'm a huge proponent of a light outline. An author friend recommended me the book Save the Cat, which is actually a screenwriting book, but in it, it's got a really great outline sort of explanation, and they kind of describe it in beats. So you get your kind of core storyline your conflict and your resolution, all that sort of stuff. So I try to kind of go with that. And so that's just me. I that's how I keep my momentum going, is that sort of beat outline. And on occasion, I'll just go in blind if I really like a story. As an author, I've grown to enjoy the outline.
So I like it. And how long does it take you to write the book? Like, come from outline to then putting the book together and maybe editing?
I would say, I wish I could be better. I feel like I used to be able to write a book in just like 3 months, but with life and chaos and just everything that's going on, 6 months seems to be a good goal for me. That doesn't include editing. That'll come later, but I'll try to schedule my editing in advance. Actually, what I'll do is I'll try to schedule the editor in advance, so I make sure I finish my book on time. So right when I finish, I can do like a quick read through and then give to the editor and start that process, and then hopefully go through a proof. So maybe a book process for me, I wish I could do it quicker, because I'm so jealous of all these incredible authors who can flip this around so quick. But for me, it's like a 6 to 8 month process to get the book written, edited, ready, proofed, and out.
How do you organize yourself as a writer? How do you keep track of your ideas, inspirations, and characters?
So I used to be like a post-it note master. I used to have like post-it notes everywhere. And then I started getting, it was getting a little chaotic. I would write random things, but now I have an app for that. That's kind of my go-to. I use Evernote on my phone for ideas and anything that happens, mostly because I like that Evernote can show up on every other device, whether I'm on my computer or my phone. So that's what I'll use to jot down ideas. And then as they grow, I'll usually move them to Scrivener, which is a thing tool, and then, or a Word doc. I am a huge fan of OneDrive, which is similar to Google Drive, just because it's online docs. I know a lot of authors do not trust the internet and they lose Word documents. It hasn't failed me yet, knock on wood. But usually I'm so on the go moving from different devices. I like being able to use my online drive and my online notes so I can kind of toggle back and forth at any location. I don't know if it's more organized than post-it notes, not necessarily sure at this point, but it works, it works.
So do you write from your phone or you write on your phone, your computer?
Yeah. Mostly my computer. I've tried to write on my phone. I last about 10 minutes, even with like a good idea, but my thumbs do not work. I mean, and I text fast, but like the red squiggly lines make me mad. And so I cannot write too long on my phone. But if I have like a solid idea, I definitely will write the idea out, but not too long. But I do have, you know, I do know people who will sit and like write on their phones.
Yeah.
And I want to shake their hand. Like, how do you do it?
Yeah, that's kind of like amazing. So, yes. Do you sure work along the way, or do you wait till it's completed for others?
You know, I used to write online, like I had mentioned, but now I don't really do that too much anymore, mainly because I'm not really on those websites anymore. But I have a really strong core group of author friends who a lot of times I will review my ideas with. Actually, usually when I have an idea, I talk it through. And then they talk me down and say, okay, well, what about this and what about this? So I definitely have a core friendship that with other authors who will help me kind of sort through all of my ideas. And then once I go through that, I'll get it down on paper and then maybe send to them as I go. But generally after like the first few chapters, I feel like I'll talk it through, but I don't like really have anybody review it up to that point until I'm done with the very end. And I'm like, hey, will you do me a favor? Make sure this isn't crazy. So yeah, but I definitely, a core group of author friends is key for me.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love when I read acknowledgements and I see authors who have friends and I'm like, yeah. I read their book, yeah. And they're like, they're friends.
We're all talking.
I love this. Awesome. So let's talk about unwritten. What was that sort of inspiration?
You know, I am such a sucker for a second chance romance, and I also just find trees in small towns very romantic. Mm-hmm. Even from a young age, I just think that there's like a lot to be said in there. I also really liked the movie Sweet Home Alabama and The Notebook. Like, I feel like this book is kind of a fun combination of both because I really do like romantic comedies. This, Unwritten is a contemporary romance, but there's definitely a lot of humor in there. Because I find myself never being able to be serious for too long. But as also an outdoor enthusiast, I also wanted the trees in the town to be a character practically. I feel like a setting can be a character just as much as the people. And I wanted to write a story about a girl who felt lost and returned home to these trees and her friends and this town and her previous life. And it's all of that that was so rich and defining. And I just, you know, for her to go find herself again as an adult. So that kind of is the pool of inspiration from there.
I like it. I can see Sweet Home Alabama just going back to the town, mm-hmm. and just getting, you know, being the fish out of water, being successful, you know, in LA, and then coming back and like, you're back, you know, your whole own, your old town's looking at you like, we don't care about that, you know?
Yeah.
We want you to
You're still the same person.
You're still the same person, yeah. So you write a writer who's found success in her debut novel, but death in the family pushes her going back to her hometown. What was it like to write about a writer? It's a little meta, you know?
Yeah, right? It is. It was actually pretty fun to write about a writer. I think sometimes as a writer, you start to feel kind of crazy because whether we like to admit it or not, we're writing from real experiences. Obviously, there's a lot of like, you know, we're making it up as we go, but we're kind of talking about things that maybe we experienced or that we want to expand on. And I felt like Haley in the book Unwritten, You know, she writes a book that's not so secretly about her first love in this town, and she tries to cover her tracks. And when she returns home, she's trying to figure out, you know, just like I think most writers, like when Haley goes back to her town, she's trying to like refigure out what's fact and fiction. And I think that was kind of fun for her. Like, she knows that she was in love with this guy, and she knows that, you know, the town is really beautiful. And it's not until she's back after 5 years that she's like, wow, you know, it really was this way. And I think that that's kind of a nice reminder to make her feel not so crazy. I mean, up to the point we're seeing the main, her love interest, you know, she feels like up to that point, she made him up. She's like, you know, did I make up this perfect person? Did I really experience this love? So when she sees him, it kind of, it makes, it's almost validating a little bit for her to make her feel a little less crazy and that maybe she is on the right track. Whatever that might be, because I think she's kind of trying to figure out her way as she goes. So I really loved writing a character who's an author just trying to sort through her feelings while also seeking out the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so this book dives into grief and loss of a parent. What was it important to you to have this part of the story? You know, it was a reason why she went back to the town was the loss of her mother. And it's just, that's a big part, you know, that
it is.
The whole process of falling in love, you're like, you're grieving too.
Yeah. You know, because it's real, it felt really, it's a real thing that everyone experiences. And I am not one to cry in books. Actually, I hate crying in books, but don't worry. I don't think this book's going to make anyone cry, but it does start out, right? It's the first thing that she experiences. She's standing in front of her house, her old home, and her mom's not going to be there. And I just, you know, and I feel like the grief storyline is messy, but it's purposefully messy because we all deal with loss differently. And for Haley, she's lost a piece of herself in all sorts of ways, but her mom is this like almost confirming factor. Like she kind of took her for granted a little bit, and having to return home and deal with that forces her to seek out that truth and come face to face, not only with the grief and loss and acceptance of losing the passing of her mother, but the guilt that comes with things like leaving home and leaving her and realizing that they had never said a lot of things. And it just, what I wanted to do with the grief element is I wanted to make it evident that grief is messy. It's really hard to deal with. And also a realization for her is that time is finite. You know, I think she took a lot of things for granted and she wished she could have said a lot of things. And because that time is so finite, you know, she wants to make the most of it. And I think she doesn't know that in the beginning until she starts going through the story. And then she starts, because she sees the guy and she sees her friends and she wants to make the most of it. And I just wanted to make a grief storyline messy in the sense of I wanted people to be able to relate to it. And hopefully people feel that when they read it, that at the end, through, you know, life, love, and loss, she does find herself in the end, because those are real things that we all experience.
Yeah. And so let's talk about the hero, Caden. Is that how you say your name?
Yeah, Caden.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Caden was like, he was avoiding Haley, and then he was like, okay, I'm going to please her. And then he's like, you wrote a book about us, you know, and I read the book and here's all the stuff, but he's in a relationship. Like he's like in a weird, messy place too. Like there's a lot of messy relationships in the beginning of the story that they all come together, and that's a part of the story. But he was like in a messy place, but he was like really, he was a good guy too.
Yeah, I think he, you know, although he was very back and forth and like holding back, the thing I enjoyed about Caden's character is his like very strange honesty. Like he's only avoiding her to preserve himself and because he knows what it is. But Caden, I really feel like, and he shows up, you know, after she meets the friends and she kind of comes back. He's really the missing puzzle piece, I think, even to their friend group and to the life is there. So, but he's also like the yin to Haley's yang. Everyone kind of pairs off in this book and has someone who balances them. And I just wanted Caden, who is kind of like Haley in this sense, you know, he's trying to find himself, and I want him to be the character when he appears, because I feel like Haley is dealing with all this and it's very messy. And it isn't until Caden decides to show up that it starts to pull Haley forward. She's kind of grounded a little bit more. She's starting to realize what's going on. So I wanted it to be, because Caden pulls her forward, I wanted to be really reminiscent of their youth as well. And they're still stumbling, you know, they're not that much older. It's only 5 years have gone by. And it was important to show Caden as kind of, even though Haley is the main character, he's still sort of the pillar of the story and he's that driving force. And honestly, it's also because Haley's mom was kind of like his own mom. Mm-hmm. And you start to learn, and it was really important for that part of the story to unfold a little bit more slowly, so you start to understand Caden's relationship with her mom and the importance that he had. Caden really filled the void that Haley couldn't do while she was there, and that was really important for me to show in his kind of character arc. And I wanted them to kind of deal with the grief together. And it's kind of those moments where, you know, they're sparring and they're fighting and they're trying to figure it out. And he's like, stop arguing with me. And she's like, no. But when it comes to the moms, they kind of band together a little bit and they deal with that loss together in their own way. Because I don't think there's any perfect way to deal with loss. Everyone who deals with it a little differently. So they kind of pull together in those moments of grief. While also navigating their broken relationship that still has this sort of like spark that's kind of going back and forth. So yeah, it was just, I love Caden. He's like one of my favorite characters I've ever written. He's just a sweetheart. And I think grew up in that story to be a really upstanding man. But like any man, he makes a lot of mistakes, I think too. He's fumbling and yeah, I just enjoy his journey.
I really do enjoy his journey too. He was just a swoony. So.
Yeah, he was a swoony. Like, trying his best. He was trying his best.
Yeah. So, what is the process to develop strong characters that are unique to the story? Because you're both strong in your own messy way. Like, mm-hmm. Is there like a process that you go through, like character building, or do they just come to you as you write the story?
They kind of come to me as I thought. I tend to, like, when I go to bed at night, I tend to think through all my storylines. So that's kind of when I pick through all of their relationships. I'm a huge proponent for strong dialogue, which I know maybe sounds really obvious to everyone, but I don't know if it really is when you're writing a book. But as a huge talker myself, I feel like one thing that was really important is for these conversations. In order to develop these strong characters is they have to have these conversations that feel sincere and authentic and unique. And it was very important for me to, especially when Haley comes back and reconnects with Caden, that there's a lot of like innuendos and secret inside jokes and stuff like that. You know, you want to show and not tell a lot. So I was hoping that like in really great dialogue, especially through the side characters, Brandon is like my second favorite character, and Cece, which is her old best friend, you know, their conversations, they're not in the story as much, but I feel like their conversations are so funny and impactful that they feel like main characters almost. And you know, you always want to know what's going on. So I'm just a huge proponent for strong dialogue that feels natural. Again, sounds really easy, but you know, I work really hard at that. So yeah, that's kind of, because I feel like that's how we all get close with our friends, and I want it to be funny in how I would interact with my boyfriend or my close friends or something like that.
I love this. What are some of your upcoming projects?
Sure, I am in the process right now. I'm like 80% done with currently it's a standalone. I don't have a sequel in mind, but it is tentatively titled Kiss Me at Midnight, because it's kind of a New Year's story, kind of like, you know, office romance. I'm in love with my boss, who's also my best friend kind of romance. But it's really sweet, and what I really love about it, it's got a strong female character and has a little bit of the Me Too movement in there, where she's kind of, you know, she wants the one of the part of the strong storylines is she's dealing with like a coworker who is trying to bring her down, but is also flirting with her and being kind of misogynistic. And she's trying to climb this ladder, and she has this kind of secret office relationship as well. And so I won't give away the ending, but she's kind of having to break off her relationship and also, you know, combating trying to get a promotion. And in the end, she bands together with a great group of women who really rise above and support each other. And it, of course, has a happily ever after, because I'm a huge fan of happily ever after. So that is sort of the, and then it ends at midnight, right, on New Year's. And it's going to be really sweet and amazing. And she's just going to be super kick-ass and really be the hero. I wanted to write a romance where the girl, where the woman is the hero of the story. Although the romance is really big, he kind of falters a little bit, and she kind of has to save the day. And and that's kind of what I'm working on right now. I also have like a sci-fi I'm working on, but that one's a little less fleshed out, but romance is always where my heart is.
Love this. Can't wait for the next podcast. Yeah. Awesome. So now let's go to round of book recommendations. This is an opportunity for share with the audience what they should read next. What is your favorite genre?
My favorite genre is romance. For sure, obviously, because I write romance. But I also weirdly love sci-fi. So I love sci-fi movies as well. And I'd like to write one, which I will try to someday. You asked me what books to recommend, right?
Yeah, let's talk about some books.
Okay. I totally enjoyed Sarah May's Bachelor Society earlier this year. I thought it was super fun and funny. Mm-hmm. She cracked me up. I also just started, I feel like I'm super late to the game on the sci-fi game, but I read Aurora Rising also earlier this year, which was so good. Mm-hmm. Like it blew my mind on how good it was. I did dabble. I'm a blog contributor for the Feminist Book Club, and I got to read an advanced reader copy of We Are All the Same, In the Dark by Julia, Heberlin? I don't know how to pronounce it, but I think it just came out, but it was super, super good. Kept me on the edge of my seat. And unlike some people out there, I really enjoyed Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes by Suzanne Collins as well.
I love this. So did you read Illuminae Files by J. Christopher and I think it's the co-author. They did,
Amy Kaufman.
Amy Kaufman. Did you read the Illuminae Files too, or have you read those?
No.
Oh, it's fantastic. They're mixed medium. Don't be intimidated by the size. They're like 600 pages long, but they're mixed medium. So there's like text messages, music, just a whole different file. It's like a set of files about an attack to space. It's a space attack. The audio is fantastic. There's like a weird song that plays over and over and the audio plays as long. It's a full plus audio. But they're easy to read. They take like, I see like take like a couple of days, but they're really easy to read, even though they're like 600 pages long.
Okay, cool. I will definitely check that out because I love the writing together.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Their original series is like fantastic. I haven't read the series, but I was like, that series was just so good.
I'll have to say, when I started Aurora Rising and I got a little bit ways into it, I like closed my book and my boyfriend, who has no idea what I'm talking about, I was like, I don't understand why nobody told me about this book earlier. I was so mad. I was like, why did no one recommend this to me? It is just so good. I just kind of picked it up on a whim. So definitely a new favorite, and I will have to check that out.
Awesome. So tell us where you can find you online.
You can find me online on my website. I do update my blog pretty frequently at www.alexrosa.org. And I'm super active on Instagram. My username is O_Alex, and that's OH_Alex. And you can always find me on Facebook under Alex Rosa.
Awesome. Thank you, Alex, for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, or rate and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Want to join a romance-loving community? Want weekly book recommendations, monthly author Q&As, and book recommendation meetups? Make new friends? Then join our Patreon community. To sign up, please follow the links in the show notes. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always in the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.